Hey, we're so glad you're here today. Are you glad you're here?
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you for coming out today. We've been in a message series for a couple of weeks, and it's been entitled, My Big Mouth. And we've been talking about the power of our words and the power of our mouths. We've had a scripture, a passage of scripture that we've been looking at for the last few weeks, and I've asked you to memorize it, and you've been saying it in service with me. It's in Psalm 19, verse 14. If you want to say this with me, say it out loud with me, if you would. Everybody, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Yeah, we didn't put it up because we've been asking you to memorize it. So here we go. We're going to do it one more time. Are you ready? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now, I will let you know, there's a cheat sheet in your bulletin. If you're a guest of ours, there is an insert that you could read along, and there's going to be some scriptures on there that you can follow along. Last week, we were talking about the words that we say, not just the words that we say publicly, and it seems to me that in the culture that we're in right now, there's so much vitriol, and there's so much angst, and people only talk in a negative fashion towards one another. So we started out by saying, you know, like, let's remember that we as the people of God, we set the bar for what communication should look like. Like, we don't buy into what the world does and how the world says things. We're supposed to be a little bit different in the way that we talk. The standard's just a little bit higher for us. And so consequently, it allows us to make a difference in this world. So that was our first week. And then last week, we began to talk about the internal words that we use. The internal conversation, the things that we say to ourselves, because eventually it's not just the words of my mouth, but it's the meditation of my heart. The way I'm thinking on the inside eventually becomes action. My thoughts become my emotions become my actions. And so ultimately, we have to even watch the internal conversation. Today, I'm going to take just a few moments, and I want to talk to you about not just stopping, maybe curtailing the negative vitriol and the negative conversation. Even if somebody doesn't agree with you, or they think differently about life, or differently about God, or if they think differently about politics, that maybe we should learn how to craft our words in such a way that we can speak the truth, but we speak the truth in love. But today, I want to go a step further. I want to talk for a few moments about us not just speaking the truth in love, but maybe there's a place where all of us need to become encouragers. That we use the words that we have, that we use the conversation that we have, and the time that we have to encourage other people. I want you to read with me in Ephesians, the 4th chapter and the 29th verse. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others, according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So that the words that we have are used to build someone else up, that we elevate their life, that somehow we even see what God's doing in them and we begin to use those words to elevate them. And you would think that we, of all people, we at church, we get this right, but sometimes we don't. And there's a video I saw recently. Anybody else besides me follow John Crist? I think he's hilarious and he's funny. And he addresses church issues a lot. And so I found this issue of a man who normally serves on a ministry team in a church, but obviously this Sunday he's not serving. And so he's in the church parking lot. So here's something for us to laugh together about. His name's John Crist, and you're going to enjoy this, I think.
Jesus, I am late for church. I'm just going to speak this parking spot into existence right now. Just name it and claim it, Jesus.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, use the crosswalk.
I have the fruit of the Spirit, but y'all need to move. Ooh, she's going to wear that into bounce your eyes. Bounce your eyes. Jesus, give me a miracle. I need a ram in the thicket. I love this church. It's just like come as you are. You know what I'm saying? How do I look, though? Does the jacket go with the shirt? Oh, good Lord. Guests, single parents, expected mother, who doesn't have a parking spot these days? I have been here 27 years. I deserve respect. Oh yeah, go ahead, take my parking spot. She probably needs Jesus more than me, honestly. Use your mirror. How long does it take to back out of a... Jesus, give me strength. This is so strange. Honestly, there better be coffee. There better be coffee. Y'all are gonna make me park in a handicap spot.
Oh, look, there go the homeschoolers.
I swear if somebody took the last jelly donut, I will. Don't make me get out of the... Oh, move
hey, are you on the ministry team?
Not today, okay? Oh, you're gonna drive a Lexus? Okay, I know where your treasure's at. Not in heaven. The sermon series is what? Putting others in front of yourself. Oh, this doesn't apply to me.
I mean, for heaven's sakes, move out of the
Look at this truck. Where are you going? A church or a Trump rally?
Finally found a parking spot 15 minutes late. Oh, it is way too cold out here, but you better bring a shuttle or I will watch this service online.
Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs. I want to talk for a few moments about building others up, encouraging others, having the kind of conversation that ultimately when people walk away from you, their life is elevated. I could go around the room, but let's just kind of do a survey here. How many of you could say that at some point in your life, there's been someone who encouraged you, somebody spoke something into your life, they saw something down inside of you, and when they saw that down inside of you, they used words and they spoke to you, and it came to life down inside of you, and you know that your life is different because of something somebody said to you. Could I just see your hand right now? I mean, just look around the room. And the interesting thing about it is you know who it was. You could probably go back to the very place and show me where it was. And tell me when it was. That's how much one phrase, one line of encouragement could make a difference in somebody's life. But we all have been on the other side of that, and we've had words of discouragement spoken to us, where somebody, maybe out of their own deficit or their own insecurity, they said something and they attempted to push us down, or and maybe they were religious and they tried to correct us, and rather than elevating us and helping us find a better path or a greater sense of illumination in God, ultimately what they did was they crushed our spirit. And so I'm going to challenge us today that there are words that we can use, and it's possible for you to, you can even speak truth into someone's life, but how you speak that truth into someone's life can be encouraging and to lift them up. I saw a report recently, and it's done by the Gottman Institute, and there it's talking about the ratios that we have in our conversation. For every one of the positive comments that we receive, for every one of the encouraging comments that we receive, there are 6 negative comments. If you want to just go ahead and put this up for, and this is true, and this was in all circles. They actually divided it out into 3 different kinds of circles in our life: our immediate, intimate relationships, family, friends, spouses, and then the next circle was like work and business and church and community, and then the farthest circle was just the people that we know casually, the people we've seen in the grocery store, the people that we bump into casually in our lives. In all of those circles, what they found was it was consistent that for every one positive thing that we hear 6 negative things. For every one positive thing that we hear 6 negative things. Maybe in your closest place, in your inner circle, it's like you want to say, thanks for being a great husband, but instead what it does is it comes out as, man, I appreciate that you finally mowed the lawn. Took you long enough. Maybe you won't let it go that long in the future. And so you start to layer negative conversation on top of, you tried to make it positive. It's one positive thing, 6 negative things. And it's not just in one conversation, but in every aspect of our life. What they found is that we receive 6 negative comments for every one positive comment. And it might explain to us a little bit why our homes are dysfunctional. It might explain a little bit better to us why our communities are dysfunctional, why our schools are dysfunctional, why church is often dysfunctional, because the conversation is like, man, you just can't seem to do anything right. And if you do it right, eventually you'll mess it up. And so consequently, what we do is we walk through life And all of these negative things begin to press down on us. I wonder what it would be like in our lives if we could turn the circle. I wonder what it would be like for you and me if for every one negative conversation, there were six positive conversations. What would it look like? What would you be willing to accomplish? What would you be willing to take on if there was somebody who was there to cheer you on? If there was somebody there that would help you by encouraging you with positive comments, and even if something negative had to be said, it would be so overwhelmed on the other side with the positive things that you wouldn't be willing to stop. You would continue to do whatever it is that God has for you. And there, the interesting thing, as far as I'm concerned, is there are a lot of people that in their normal course of life, often they think it, but they just don't say it. And many times it's because I'm afraid that if I encourage you in this area, the place where I don't agree with you, or the place in your behavior that I don't agree with you, if I encourage you over here, you'll think I'm encouraging that. But I've found in my life what takes place is when you encourage somebody and you do that consistently, what it does, it is actually gives you an open door. It gives you the platform. It gives you the relationship, the inroad for you when it's necessary to have a negative conversation or a direct conversation or a truthful conversation. You've so built the platform on the positive that they now trust you in this area because they believe and are convinced that you are on their side. I was talking to somebody recently, and we were talking about when you encourage somebody, there's something that takes place. And even if you're having a bad day, and it seems like many times we feel like, man, I need to be the one that needs to be encouraged. Well, I have some good news for you. And here's what it says in Proverbs 25, verse 11. It says, those who refresh others, those who pour life onto others will themselves be refreshed. And what I've found in life is that even if I'm having an awful day and I see somebody else and I have the opportunity to encourage them and just say something good to them, say something uplifting to them, just maybe lift their day just a little bit. When I walk away from them, not only do I feel better about them, I feel better about me. So I refresh them and then I am myself refreshed. All of us need it. There isn't one person in this room that doesn't need encouragement. There isn't one person in this room that's ever been encouraged too much. There's not one person in this room that if you were to walk up to them today and try to encourage them and speak something good into their life, they were like, no, stop, I have too much encouragement. There's nobody in that place. And here's the reason why is because we all walk in hurts. We all walk in insecurities. There's not a person in this room that doesn't have some sense of insecurity about them in some place in their life where they need to be encouraged. Gentlemen, let me just give you some advice. Ladies, it doesn't matter how good they look, they wrestle with some of these issues. Every woman in this room, here's what the internal dialogue about this looks like for them. Did he notice me? Does he think I'm pretty? Does he still think I'm the best? That's an internal conversation that they're having. And so, gentlemen, let me just tell you, you have to speak to that. Ladies, let me tell you about the guys. Here's where guys are in this conversation. The insecurity and the internal conversation, whether they'd ever voice it or not, the conversation is, am I good enough? Am I going to be able to accomplish? Will I have enough? Do I have what it takes to do everything that I dream to do? And so consequently, they're walking in that and they need somebody to come along and they need somebody to encourage them. It's not just husbands and wives. Children need to be encouraged. Our youth need to be encouraged. Your adult children needs to be encouraged. But let me just talk about our youngest children first for a few moments. If the ratio is true that six negative statements are made for every one positive statement. And that need is still there for those positive statements, for that encouragement, for somebody to speak something good about a person's life. If they don't, listen, Dad, if they don't get it from Dad, it may set them on a course throughout their lifetime searching for somebody who will fill that encouragement that they needed from their father. So dads, let me just say, moms, let me just say, you have the opportunity where you can speak into your child and it may set their course for a lifetime in a positive way. It's not just children. Let me just tell you, we're all children of somebody and our parents need to be encouraged. Parents have insecurities too. Parents are like, did I do a good job? You know, man, my kids are really messed up. They're, you know, but parents need encouragement too. And so I read this recently and somebody said in an article I was reading, they said, children often get to the place where they don't view their parents as human beings. They don't see the humanity of their own parents and fail to encourage their own parents. Let me just tell you, if you have a parent that's alive, you're going to want to encourage them. Speak to their, if you haven't done it yet, there's going to be a day when you're going to wish you could pick up the telephone and call them and say, you're a good mom. Let me just tell you, and what's pretty ironic about this, there is a place in life where we get this right. There's a place where we get it right. You know where it is we get this right? Funerals. It's the place where we finally say the stuff we wanted to say. It's the place where we encourage. It's the place where the observations that have been down on the inside that we wish we would have said throughout an entire lifetime, we finally say that. Now, I have some experience on this in this regard. Since I've been pastoring Christ Church of Orlando, I've been updating some of my own records and going back through some of my history. And I have, in the last 20 years at Christ Church, I've performed over 90 funerals. And I've actually done 8 in the last year. I've been a part of 3 funerals in the last month. And let me just say, we get this right in funerals. Like, people stand up and we like, he was such a great father. He worked so hard. She was such a good mom. She worked 2 jobs or 3 jobs and did so much good. And I wish I would have said, they were an entrepreneur. They worked so hard. They worked 2 or 3 jobs and they worked so hard to make sure that we had everything that we need. And I sit and I wonder if they told them this stuff while they were alive. I'm just going to challenge you. Don't wait till you're standing at someone's funeral. Don't wait until somebody passes to say the stuff that you wish you would have said. Don't be afraid. Kind of reach over across all of your barriers and say, listen, I just wanted to say, you did good. Like, there are some great, admirable qualities about you. What we don't do at a funeral is there's not ever, I've been in, like I said, 90 funerals. Those are the ones I've conducted in the last 20 years. No one's ever stood up at a funeral and said, they were an awful human being. And they were just a crummy person. Because you know what they do? They dig deep and they find the things they wish they would have said in a lifetime. So I'm going to challenge you. Find those things. I heard recently about a man by the name of Jimmy Collins. He's the president of Chick-fil-A, and Chick-fil-A is such a great organization in the way that it trains leaders and trains people. And Jimmy Collins was in his office one day, the president of Chick-fil-A, and somebody walked into his office, and he had a paper with some writing on it, and he was burning the edges of the paper with a lighter. And he wasn't letting the whole paper burn, but he was just letting the edges burn. And then he'd put the fire out, and the ashes were on the table. And then he took the ashes on the table while this person is watching him and put the ashes in an envelope and folded up the piece of paper that he was burning and put it into the envelope. And they finally said, what are you doing? And he said, this is the sales report from one of our stores. And so far this year, they're just below. They're not really reaching their goal, but I think they have the potential to do it. So what I did was I took their sales report and I wrote on it, Your cells are on fire. Great job. Keep up the good work. And they said at their national conferences, person after person, when they're giving away cars and awards and huge checks for compensation for people who reach their sales goals, they said almost all of them stood up and said, one day I went to the mail and opened up an envelope and ashes fell out. And we weren't doing very good. We weren't reaching our sales goals for the year. But it said, Jimmy Collins wants you to know that you're on fire. You're doing a great job. And they said, man, we just dug in and we, of all times, we were going to make sure that those words came to pass, that we were going to reach our sales goals and exceed those sales. You have no idea the power of encouraging somebody. And they might look like they're not accomplishing. They might look like they're not really reaching up to where they should be. Your words have the power to bring life. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that our words have the power of life and death. It's in your tongue. So speak life. Speak life into your circumstances. Speak life into the people around it. Who needs encouragement? Let me tell you who needs encouragement. We have single parents in our church. We have single fathers in this church that I watch them come into this building and they have daughters, you know, and they walk into this building and their daughters are completely dressed and they got bows in their hair and matching shoes on their feet. And those fathers need encouragement. There are single mothers in this room. There are single mothers in this room that barely make it financially. And yet, every opportunity that they can, every opportunity, there's something that's taking place here at church. You know where they are? They're here with their kids. They have their kids in children's programs. They have their kids in VBS. They have their kids, and their kids are in school. And let me just tell you, those single moms, they need encouragement. There are some other people. We have widows in our church and widowers in our church that they live alone. They live alone all throughout the week. And you know what they need? They need somebody that comes along to them and says, listen, you're not alone. We love you and we care about you. Is there anything that we can do to help you? There are people in our church. There are people in your circle that need somebody to come along to them and encourage them. And maybe you're here today and you're sitting here, but what about me? What about me? Like, maybe you're feeling like I haven't received the encouragement that I need. And maybe you're walking in some wound or walking in some insecurity. And yet you feel stuck because there's nobody there to encourage you. I'm going to go back to the scripture again in Proverbs. And this is written by Solomon. Many people think he was the wealthiest man. And he has such a brilliant insight about this, that when you replenish others, you'll be replenished yourself. For those who refresh others, Proverbs 11:25 says, those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. There's a principle there that if you put it out to somebody, what you put out will be returned back to you. What you give to somebody else will come back to you in great measure. So when you encourage someone, you yourself will be encouraged. I'm going to give you 6 points here. And in these 6 points, these have, as far as I'm concerned, some practical application. But I want to ask you this question today. Who in your life needs to be encouraged? Who in your immediate circle of friends and family, those people that are closest to you, they're living on a deficit? Who in your life is in that 6-to-1 ratio? They're on the 6 negatives and only on the 1 positive. Who do you know that they're dying for somebody to encourage them? Who do you know on your job in that next level, in that sphere of influence that you have on your job or in your neighborhood or the people around you or the people here at church? Who is so needing for somebody to come along them and speak spirit and speak life into them? How about who in your far-reaching circles, in just your everyday life, the cash register, it happened to me just this week. Honestly, I was in the grocery store and I was buying some stuff and I couldn't get one of the things to ring up. And one of the people in the store, because I always use the checkout, because I'm impatient and I don't want to have to wait on somebody else. And so I use the self-checkout. And so I'm in the self-checkout and it's not ringing up. And one of the attendants, she sees what's taking place and she just comes over and says, here, let me help you. And she said, oh, let's just go over to mine. I'll ring it up over here on mine. She takes it over and she was pleasant as can be. And she made it a easy and a quick transaction. And I was like, thank you so much. I hope everybody else gets this kind of service. It's really, you were really positive. I really appreciated it. She smiled really big. Something else happened to me. I was out with a friend this week having dinner. And while I was having dinner with them, our server, who was a good server, I hadn't really, honestly, my friend was visiting from out of town, so I was kind of more interested in the conversation I was having with him. And as we were talking, in the middle of that, the server came back over, and he said to her, he said, you're a really good server. You're really attentive. Like, you've come over a couple of times, and you've not interrupted us, and you always check to make sure that we have what we need, and you're just a really good server. And she went, why, thank you. And she walked away, and he said, I'll bet she's sweet in her life. And I was like, I wonder how many people that day were on the 6-to-1 with her. Like, 6 negative comments. Like, I asked for half ice in my tea, and you gave me full ice in my tea. You know? I wanted a lemonade without a lemon in it. And you brought lemonade with a lemon in it. I mean, like, the negative things. And just to have one person. And you might say, well, listen, like, they're just the server at Applebee's. They're just the checkout attendant at Walmart. You have no idea what that person has walked through in their life, in that day, in that week, that they need somebody to come alongside of them and encourage them. I heard the story of a man by the name of George Truett. He pastored a large church out in Dallas, Texas. And in the church he pastored in Dallas, Texas, he had a best friend that he often would go hunting with them. And so one day he went out hunting with his friend, and there was an accident, and his gun went off, and he accidentally shot and killed his best friend. His daughter said, she never heard her father laugh again. He pastored a church and helped other people, but the person close to him, his daughter said, she never heard him laugh again. But he had a television broadcast and a radio broadcast, and every day when he would sign off, here's what he would say. Be good to everyone because everyone is having a tough time. No idea what the person sitting near you had to walk through to get to this place today. You have no idea what the person that is sitting near you in an office, what they had to walk through to get to that seat. So would you consider taking a look around you and allow it to be a part of who you are, that you'll become an encourager? Life and death is in the power of the tongue. I'm going to give you 6 things that I think you can do that will help you become an encourager. Are you ready? Here's the first, if you want to write these down. Number one, pray that the Lord will make you an encourager. Pray that the Lord will use you to encourage other people. Like, if you're going to pray about something, pray, Lord, help me to encourage someone. Help me to become somebody who encourages others. Number two, are you ready? Practice encouragement. Just practice doing it. Do it regularly. Get in the habit of saying something good about people. Number three, use Scripture, because Scripture has eternal weight to it. When you see somebody that's discouraged, maybe talk to them and then offer them a Scripture. If you see somebody that's down, offer them a Scripture and help to elevate their life. Here's the fourth one. Are you ready? Encourage leaders. I'm going to kind of say this out a little bit further. Do a 360 encouragement. If you're middle management, encourage the people that are below you on a job. Encourage your peers. Encourage those that are above you. Encourage the leaders. Encourage your boss. Encourage the people around you. I have to tell you, if you do that, you'll bring life to your organization. Number 5, are you ready? Be wise. Yeah, we have to kind of put some caution out there in this generation. Be wise. Be wise about what you say. Be wise what you say to somebody of the opposite sex. It's possible for you to say something that's positive and encouraging and say it in a way that it can't be misconstrued as something that is negative and flirtatious. Because just because something's flattering, let me just tell you what flattering is. Flattering is something that I say hoping that it will benefit me. Encouragement is, I'm just saying it to benefit you. So there are a lot of times when somebody will flatter you and they'll say something, or maybe if they're saying something inappropriate, like wanting to say something to a woman, and gentlemen, I'll just tell you, be cautious about it. There's a good way you could say it to, if somebody's well-dressed, but what you don't want to say is, you sweet thing, you look at you all dressed up. I've been trying to tell my wife to buy a dress like that. Well, in a really skewed way, that might be encouragement, but it's not. It's really flattery. It has an agenda to it. But what you might be able to say is, let me just tell you how much I appreciate how well you represent us. You're always well-dressed. You always represent us in such a good way. You have great taste in clothes. And I just want to say thank you for being a part of our lives. I mean, that is encouraging without flattery. There's not an agenda. So be wise on how you say it. Can somebody say amen to that? And here's my last one. Just say it. Just say it. We always want to look for the right moment, and like, I'll buy a card and I'll send it to him, and cards are awesome. But sometimes what we need to do is just simply just say it. Don't wait for the moment. Just say the thing that you want to say when it crosses through your mind, and somebody in the grocery store does something nice for you. Just say it. There, I was in the store a few months ago, and an elderly lady walked up to me and she said, "I'll bet you're happy." And I'm like, "What?" And she said, "You've been walking through the store smiling." Honestly, you know what it makes me? It encourages me to go in the grocery store, like, smiling. She made me conscious of the life I live. She elevated me, and she encouraged me that maybe something on the inside was showing up on the outside. Encourage them. Just say it. Don't wait until there's a casket in front of a room, and don't wait until people are gathered with Kleenexes in their hands. Don't wait. If you have something that you want to say, and you love something about somebody, and you're afraid maybe they'll take it and they'll use it as permission to go on and do something wrong in the other area of their life, and you're guarded about what you want to say, you know what I'm going to say to you? Just say it anyway. Just encourage them. And let me tie a spiritual feature to this. The Bible says that in the last days that sons and daughters would prophesy. Do you know what prophesying is? It actually means to see the work of God in something. What God is trying to do. What God has designated at a specific time in a specific people. And to say it out loud. When you look at somebody and you see the work that God's wanting to do down inside of them, when you see the gift that God's placed inside of them, and it might be covered by a bunch of other stuff, but God's opened your eyes and you can see what their potential is and you can see who they can be. Let me just tell you, don't allow anything to stop you. Prophesy into their life and prophesy into their future that God has something great for them. And I have to tell you, it won't just be your words. The Spirit of God will bring the harvest to it. So will you just say it? Imagine if we lived in that kind of a culture. Imagine if we lived in that kind of the world where the Spirit of God led our words and we lived encouraged. I want to pray for you in the next few moments, and then I want us to pray for each other and kind of encourage each other in prayer, because that's one of the things that we can do. Will you just bow your head and close your eyes with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I love you, and I thank you, God, for your great blessings. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity for us to be here in your house. I ask you, dear Lord, that your Spirit will come and touch each and every person. I ask you, Lord, that you would make yourself known to us. And dear Lord, for the person who's discouraged, will you come by your Spirit and lift them? But Lord, will you also place people around them to lift them? Use us as your body to elevate people's lives, to encourage them. Lord, we're also asking you that you'll use us. Use our words. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Use us to encourage those around us, dear Lord, to lift them up, to prophesy your words into their future. So, Lord, ultimately, they'll become the people that you want them to be. In the name of Jesus. I'm going to ask you to stand for just a few moments. And if you're a guest of ours, let me just talk to you for a second. If you're a guest, we're gonna form a couple of circles here, like circles of four or five, just to pray for each other and encourage each other for just a moment or two. And here's what, if you're a guest, you don't have to do this. Honestly, we're going to love you, and it might be uncomfortable for you to maybe get in a prayer circle with somebody you don't know. But if you want to be encouraged for a couple of minutes, will you just stand with us? And I'm going to ask you to find a group of about four or five people. And all I want you to do for just a few moments is just pray for them. And pray with them. Pray that they'll be encouraged. Pray that they'll be lifted up. Yeah, go ahead and turn around and find somebody to pray with today. Discouraged. Lord, let them sense your love for them. Let them sense our love for them. Lord, we invite the Spirit to come and lift each and every person in this place today. Holy Spirit, come and have your way. Bring wholeness and healing and health and life to your people. And encourage us, Lord, in the Spirit, to be the kind of person that can give out to someone else. Hallelujah. I probably